Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
One of these days we're going to be on key.
I think you were on key. I was off key. Hello there, boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the first episode of 2015 of the Tony Perkins Show.
That's
featuring
right.
Gary
How did it
Stein.
Go?
How did what go?
The show, the first show.
The first show. It was fantastic. Thank you for listening, folks. We'll see you.
That's all for now.
We did our longest show last time. This could be the shortest show.
We did. That nepotism show went on and on, but boy, oh boy.
It was fun. We'll get to that in just a moment. Hi, I'm Tony Perkins.
Hi, I'm Gary Stein.
And as always, we are joined by youthful ward Rob Ford. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how's it going? Happy New Year to you all.
Happy New Year to you.
2015.
2015. Can you believe that?
Yep.
Man.
Starting off with a bang.
It is. I mean, so far it's been great.
Well, you know, people say constantly, and I said a little bit of this, 2014, glad it's gone. You know, glad if people always say, glad that year's gone, because this year's going to be so incredible. Yeah. But last year was pretty good.
2000, I was, you know, I'm in the news business, so.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and some of the news, you know, a lot of the news was not great in 2014. But, you know, we started this show, which was wonderful.
That was the best news.
Yeah, we did Off the Cuff on Channel 5. That was
we
good.
Did.
You know, a lot of good stuff happened.
I built a new house with my bare hands.
Did you really?
From scratch, I built a mansion.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it's a little mansion for Barbie dolls and G.I. Joes, right?
Not for them, but it does fit on a table.
He built it in 40 days and 40 nights.
A biblical tale.
That's right. But 2015 will be great. We're happy you're with us. And thank you for everything. I want to remind you to please like the Tony Perkins Show on Facebook. Hey, and
no,
you know what?
You got to do it. You got to do it.
Yeah, but listen, our Facebook following is growing.
It's exploding.
It's fantastic. So thank you. You know, I assume if they're following us on Facebook, they're listening to the show. Wouldn't that be weird if they were just following?
Yeah. That would be funny.
But
like reading the comments. I don't want to hear it.
If you're new to the show, thank you very much. Please tell your friends. Like us, like the Tony Perkins Show on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter at T-Perk Show. Don't forget to check in often because we post something new every day, or at least nearly every day. And let's put a plug in for TPGS Fan Club, Mike Stone's Facebook page. A lot of you are on there too. Gary, you are very good about commenting on that page,
which
is great. I'm unable to because I don't have a personal Facebook page, but I do read it and I make comments out loud. You just don't get to hear them.
Well, I do. I do it often because I'm lonely.
But we do thank you for all of that. And, of course, remember, tell your friends to subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search Tony Perkins Show in iTunes Podcast. Subscribe. It's free and fun, and you'll love it.
And our goal for this year is to be the number one podcast in the country.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would be.
You know what? No one's going to beat Serial. Have you heard about Serial?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. This is everyone's listening to that podcast. It's over now.
Yeah,
they finished their first run.
Yes.
But a super popular podcast. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm going to.
You have to listen. It's very good.
Yeah.
Why can't we match that?
You're right. We should shoot high.
We should.
Yeah.
And if we fall, we fall hard.
Shoot high, fall hard.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. You mentioned it, the nepotism show.
Oh, wow.
Listen, folks, I have to say, and I love every show that we've done, my personal favorite show.
Mine too, and from the fan page and from the Tony Perkins Show Facebook page, their favorite show.
Yeah, and we thank you for the response when we did it. I thoroughly loved it. But then going back and listening to it, I loved the whole Mike O'Mara, you know, it's a mini Mike O'Mara episode on the show.
Yes. All the family members.
Yeah, the kids were great. The moms were great.
We took the onus off of it by saying we are celebrating ourselves.
Right, right. Thanks for hanging in there with us for that, and thank you for the response.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. So we got through the holidays. Gary, I want to thank you for your gifts.
Oh, you're welcome.
And as Gary mentioned on the... Now, you know what's funny? You said on the show... is this is what I'm going to get you for Christmas.
Yeah.
And then I forgot. So I'm
did
opening
you really?
It. Yeah, I'm opening it like, oh, I wonder what he got me. I could tell it was a CD. I'm thinking maybe Rhonda told him a CD I'm interested in. But Gary got me the the Jonathan and Darlene Edwards Volume 1, Best
Greatest
of Volume 1.
Oh, that's very right. cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And I played it on Christmas Day. We had a bunch of people to the house. I played I Am Woman. I played one other cut. And they loved it. It's so amazingly bad. But yes. Everybody got the joke.
Right. Mad and perfect because it's so hard to do that.
Right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. So I got that. You gave me that, and you gave me the Ethel Merman disco album.
Yes. Yes. Which no home can do without.
I showed that to everybody, and they were just shocked. Yeah. That Ethel Merman. I didn't get to play it for them, but I will do that. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Now, Gary was smart. He mailed me. As you know, Gary is in New Jersey. I'm here in the Washington area. Gary mailed me my gifts. I didn't think to do that. So I've brought them with me to give to Gary, so you can open them right here.
Wow, I'm
going to
open them.
Yeah.
You know what I love? I'm opening them on a podcast, and no one can see.
No one can see, yeah. But you know, you'll react to, oh, this is nice, nice music.
This is opening present music. Wow. You know what's great, though, in your incompetence to not be able to mail it? It's really great after Christmas to be able to open now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rob's going to take pictures. We'll post these online. I think you'll like this. I hope you will.
Oh, I'm sure. Listen, you know what? I can't, and I'm not saying this just to say it, although I would lie if I had to. You have never given me anything that I haven't loved.
Oh, thank
any
you.
Any gift
thank
that
you.
I
thank
have
you.
Not
thank
loved.
You.
Yeah.
I think you'll
enjoy it. Including that membership to that club. That,
well, let's not talk about that.
Back in the GMA days.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever told Sarah about that.
The booty club?
I don't know if it was called that. Oh, wow. Yeah,
I hope you don't have
this. Yeah, I do not have it. And for those of you old-timey people out there, Tony got me the collector's edition of the Dean Martin Celebrity Roasts, which roasts all dead people. And, they weren't dead when they were roasted.
You know what? I think most of them are dead.
Okay, so I'm looking at... Well, okay, one is not on the cover. So it says featuring, like me on the Tony Perkins Show, but we do know that from the last show, I am now starring.
Well, we're going to make that... We'll make that official at some point.
So... So this says, featuring Johnny Carson, dead. Love him. Lucille Ball, dead. Love her. Don Rickles, alive but doesn't know it.
And barely.
Barely, yeah. He now has 17 chins. Have you noticed?
He looks like a big, and I love Don Rickles.
I do too.
He looks like a big bullfrog now.
He really does.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah. He turned into a baby hippo.
I don't like seeing him. Yeah, he does look like a baby hippo.
We're knocking somebody,
I know,
who could kill us.
Well, you know what?
He could knock us so badly if he was here.
Here's the unfortunate thing. We're recording this show only 2 days before it's going to post, but imagine tomorrow.
If he goes?
Yeah. Those guys are hard.
You know, I can't believe you went there, because when I go places like that, you say, you can't say that. Don Rickles may pass away before the show.
Well, hopefully he won't.
He won't. Yeah. He's only got to wait 2 days.
After that, all bets are off.
Once this show posts,
you're on your own.
Do whatever you got to do.
Yeah. So then Jimmy Stewart, dead. Bob Hope, dead. And then it says, and many others. And I bet they're dead.
Yeah.
Which means I'm really going to enjoy this. Because I see a picture of Carol O'Connor, dead.
Yeah,
Jackie Gleason, dead.
Wow, I didn't even think about it
I'm
that
gonna
way.
I'm going to love this.
May I see it just for a second? It's like 6 DVDs, something like that. Yeah, Rich Little, he's dead, right?
I don't know if Rich Little's dead.
Only a little dead.
You know what? Maybe only a few of his characters.
Yeah, some of them. Boy, yeah, he can't do anybody anymore.
No.
He does all the people on this thing.
Yeah.
George Burns, dead. Milton Berle, dead. Audrey Meadows, dead.
Yeah.
Jonathan Winters.
She was dead when she was alive, I think. No, that was Jane. Sorry. Audrey had talent.
So this one, I got you another one.
Okay.
This one, I apologize because you're going to have to carry it back. It's a little heavy.
Okay.
This is really from Ron and I.
Is it gold?
No.
It's really heavy.
It is heavy. And it's to you and your wife because I think you will both enjoy it.
I'm not sharing anything with Sarah. If it's my gift, it's my gift. Honey, you got some expensive gifts. You're done.
I don't know if you've heard about this.
Uncompromising expression. Oh, this is the Blue Note release?
Yes. Yeah. It's a book. on all the Blue Note. Blue Note is a great jazz label.
That was like, it still is around, but it was one of the biggest jazz labels of all time. And this book traces their 75-year history
or
something?
Yes, that's right. And it's got all the great artwork and pictures. It just came out a month or two ago.
I had heard about it. And of course, because you're a billionaire and I'm not, I said to myself, I won't be able to afford it. And I probably won't get it for Christmas from Tony because although I always say how generous he isn't. No, he is. This is beautiful. Thank you
so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
And you're right. Sarah will love this book.
It's a coffee table book, really.
But the coffee table doesn't read it.
No.
Since he's a billionaire, he bought you 100 of the same book. Right. Just to prove a point.
And I bought you a coffee table.
I was going to say, hopefully you bought me a very large coffee table. Oh, this is great. This is great. You know, I said to Tony in the car on the way over here, because he drove that really old, horrible Acura, and I said,
horrible.
I don't mean to be corny. We were talking Christmas, and he said, I've got some presents for you that, you know, are very late. Yours came in on time. And I said, you have never given me anything in 15 years that I haven't loved that was very thoughtful. And thank you so much.
That's
I don't mean to be
nice.
Corny, but, you know, I kind of am.
Well, thank you. I really think you're going to love that
book. That is fantastic. In fact, why don't you do the podcast alone while I start reading the book.
Wouldn't that be funny if he's just flipping through? Gary, we're doing a show. Uncompromising Expression, Blue Note. All right, now.
That's fantastic. Can I just say one more thing?
Sure, yeah.
I had a great idea for the Dean Martin Celebrity Roast DVD set.
Yes.
I'm going to get a portable DVD player, and I'm going to go sit in my favorite cemetery and watch all of these around other dead people who might enjoy it.
They'll hear it. Some of them go, hey, that's me.
That's right.
That was one of my best bits.
I remember when that was on.
Know your audience.
If our audience is basically dead, we don't have a podcast.
Luckily, they're not. All right, now, we've done our gifts, but I've got something else for you. It is not from me. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago when we had Sue Palka on the show,
and
her husband was here, Joe Palka, I think we talked about this on the show, that you guys hit it off immediately.
Yeah.
Because Joe likes...
We've been dating.
Yeah. Sue's husband, Joe, likes...
Vintage clothing.
Vintage clothing.
I did not forget. And I also didn't forget that he said, I have something for you.
Okay.
And I didn't know if that was going to happen.
Well, that's funny. I want to play... Can we play a clip from that episode? Because it'll
say... We can. Here it is.
And I'm going to walk out of the room. I have to get what he has for you.
Okay. My
I do
God.
Want to say that before the show, Joe came in, Joe, first of all, looks fantastic. As always, he's well-dressed. Vintage clothing.
Yes.
Always vintage clothing, yeah.
Yeah.
Which you like as
I
well.
Love it.
But you guys bonded immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah.
You know how that happens sometimes?
Yeah.
These guys walked into the room, and I said hi to Sue, but, you know, kind of passed her right by. And then I liked Joe's camel hair coat. He looked like a mafia boss. And I wanted to know if he could leave the coat for me, jokingly. And he started telling me about other things that he has, and he's going to like...
And you guys hit it off.
Yeah, I'm getting a sport jacket out of this, and, you know, I'm getting an overcoat.
Can Joe lean in, Sue, for a moment?
Absolutely.
Joe lean into the mic just for a quick moment? He's getting a sport jacket out of this one? How did he do this?
I have a couple of them, because I always get them off of eBay,
and
Sue will tell you, sometimes I buy them when I just don't need them. So I've got this closet filled with vintage clothing, and they're just slightly different shades of camel. What, honey? I needed a light brown to offset my light brown.
So you have an extra?
Yes, I do.
All right. Play a little bit of music. I'm going to run right outside of the room here.
Oh, boy.
Stand by. Hold on. You're not going to believe this.
Well, going along with the Dean Martin celebrity roast and the Blue Note thing, this is just too much. It's too much, but I accept.
Ready for this?
Oh, my God.
We're going to take a picture. I want to take a picture right now.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead. Take a picture.
I guess we are on the podcast. We still have to survive it. This is a camel hair, full-length camel hair vintage coat.
I'm trying it on right now. I'm trying it on.
See, there we go.
Tony is wrapping it around Gary right now as we speak.
All right. We're going to take another picture of me wearing it because it actually fits perfectly.
Isn't that
the
fantastic?
The sleeves are exactly the right length. I look like a mafia boss. That's what I wanted. You know what? If Joe and I, listen, if Joe and I walk down the street together, people are going to go to the other side of the road.
That's right.
They are.
Can
we thank him?
Yeah,
how do we thank him?
Oh, we could call him. We could call him. Rob, I'll give you the phone number. And here's what you should do.
What?
You guys should get together, walk down the street in your camel hair coats carrying violin cases. People will clear out.
Somebody might shoot us.
We'll get Joe Palka on the phone, because I knew you would want to thank him.
Oh, man.
Isn't
he
that
really
beautiful?
He came through. He did that. He's amazing.
So,
you know, remember he said people walk into his house and he says, what size are you?
Yeah.
Right,
that's
right. Hey, hey, hey.
Joe Palka.
Joe.
Tony.
Hey.
Hey, you. Joe.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I have a belated Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you. It's not just me.
Joe
Gary is
Palka.
Here.
Gary.
Joe.
Gary, how the hell are you?
I am, well, I was great when I walked into the radio station, but I am even better because I have a mafia coat, and I can't believe you did it. I can't believe you, because you said you were going to give me something, but I couldn't believe you did it. Tony brought it to the studio as a surprise, and I just put it on, and I want you to know, I think you need to be a haberdasher, because here's why.
Careful of that. I'm a married man.
Well, everybody's got a secret.
My haber is dashing, I will say that.
Yes. Wow. I'm going to meet you in the Catskills, as Mike O'Meara likes to say. So, listen, I got to tell you something. We didn't know whether or not the sleeves were going to fit, and I thought, he's making me spend money. I'm going to have to let this out.
$10-$12, who wants to pay that?
Right. So the sleeves.
That's twice the cost of the coat.
Wait a minute. That's all you spent on me?
No, little bit, but not much more. It was actually quite a good deal. And, you know, I can even tell from here, it looks good on you.
Oh, yes.
You know you're doing well when a coat looks good over the phone.
No, that's true. That's true. But I want to tell you something. The sleeves were absolutely perfect.
That's
the shoulders
great. Actually,
were
it was your arms that were perfect, Gary. The sleeves, they came along much later. Actually, they didn't. They came along a lot before, but you were made for that coat.
Joe, did you know that you were going to be ruining this?
No. Or am I supposed to sit back? Okay, I'm sorry.
No,
I'll be a little more reticent.
No, Joe,
I don't want you to strain yourself. Do not sit back. But I just wanted to tell you that it fits perfectly. But listen, I got to say something else, and it's part of like how grateful I am. What happened to the sport jacket?
I looked and I tried on all three of them, presuming you're a 40 reg.
You cheap son of a. Where's my sport jacket, Joe? How do you wear a camel haired coat like this with no sport jacket?
Well, yeah, I wanted to spread them out. I figure maybe along about March or so,
you
guys will have me back on the show again to thank me for the sport coat.
No. The fact that I didn't get the sport jacket today, you're not back on the show.
Joe, pay no attention to him. Pay no attention to
the man behind the overcoat.
Joe, you know what we have to do? You and I have to walk down the street together wearing these coats, carrying violin cases,
and seeing if
people walk to the other side of the street.
Well, the key here is, you know, I know what you're suggesting, but it really will need Tony to come along with us to carry a baseball bat to keep the women away from
You're right. You would look, I mean, the two of you walking down the street in those coats and a little, one of those watches, the chain?
It's called a pocket watch, Tony.
A pocket watch.
Did you know that the one on your wrist is called a wristwatch?
But I mean, yeah, the women, well, you know, 60 and up, they're going to go crazy.
Oh, wow. He giveth, he taketh
away.
Gary,
can you feel, when you put the coat on, you can actually feel it in your hormones, can't you?
Well, I you know what? I have the coat on, and right now I am feeling myself.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No, I'll tell you, our parents knew how to dress.
They did. They did.
They did everything better than
But I never looked good in my mother's clothes.
He did try.
That's not what Tony said. I'm just for the record. That's not what Tony said.
So, Joe, here's my question for you.
What was that?
You've got Gary's era down. It's beautiful. Do you have anything in a black leather Shaft era jacket that I might look good in?
Boy, he'd look like a very old shaft.
Yeah.
It might be, you know, called, might
I
be called
I bet if
shafted.
I dig and dig, I could come up with some nice platform shoes, Tony. and some puka shells, but I don't know that the brothers ever wore puka shells.
No,
did they?
No. No brothers wore puka shells, no.
Yeah, well... We'll have to funnel our way through some old Isaac Hayes albums or something for inspiration.
Wow.
But I'll try to come up with something someday for you.
No, I'm kidding. You're a gentleman. That's so nice of you. He was thrilled, and
yeah,
it looks great.
And really, forget Tony. Just continuing to give me presents is really good enough.
Well, it's fun. You'll find that wearing old clothes like that, it kind of harks back to another era, and it is kind of romantic. And you know, the world is so uncivilized, undignified. Let's put it that way. In so many arenas these days, it's kind of nice to hark back to a somewhat more peaceful time when people had a little more dignity. And if it just comes by way of an overcoat, hey, what the heck, let's take it.
You know what? You and I, we hit it off the minute you walked in the room. We feel the same way about this stuff. I am going to wear this coat proudly tomorrow. And I thank you so much. It is an incredible present, even if it cost you a nickel. It's a fabulous coat, and I'm very, very happy. Thank you.
Well, I'll keep an eye out for a 40-reg sport coat, but right now I think they might be a little big on you.
This is gorgeous. It's so much better than the presents Tony gave me.
Oh, wow. Man, this is the most ungrateful guy. Hey, Joe, before we let you go, I know that we're calling you in a hotel room, and I don't want to cause any trouble or anything, but is Sue there with you?
Oh, Sue is here.
Oh, okay, yeah, good.
Oh,
good.
Oh, darling.
Just making sure.
What are you two doing right now?
Well, actually, I'm sitting around and talking on the phone. And Sue is going through her ablutions.
Her what?
And she looks lovely and radiant, as you can imagine.
Ablutions?
Ablutions?
Yeah.
When was
Look
the,
it up.
When was the last
it's
time?
It's an SAT word. You're talking to an old English teacher here.
Can she say hi real quick?
Yes, she sure can.
Okay.
Darling. See, when you wear vintage clothes and you say things like, darling, darling, Tony's on the line.
They have to play the role.
That's right. That's
Somebody
right.
Look up the number for 911. I don't know who this man is. He's been in my room all morning.
Sue, I got to say, as you said when you were on the show, he really can't be stopped.
He cannot be stopped.
No.
He is an unstoppable force. What you have to do, though, Tony and Gary, is learn to detach. I'm an expert at it.
Is that what you did? Really?
That's what I've had to do to save myself. Because he's,
does he know?
I think he knows. I have to walk about 3 feet behind him at all times. And Joe has a penchant for wanting to wear his, vintage clothing. He wore a top hat to church on Christmas Eve.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, wow, way to upstage the priest there, Joe.
Well, was the priest wearing a top hat also?
No, but the priest loved the top hat. He said, I love your hat.
Now, listen,
like, oh, my goodness.
I know this stuff worries you, but you're going to have to be willing to walk down the street with me and with Joe, both of us wearing our mafia camel hair coats.
As long as there are no walking sticks involved, I can probably do it.
No walking sticks.
You got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah.
With Joe, as you probably know, I'd say I'll walk with you in your vintage clothing, but it has to be dark, and I'll be 3 feet behind you. No, it is a beautiful coat, though, Gary. I'm glad you like it.
I love it, and I thank you both. It was really very thoughtful. Wonderful.
Well, I think Joe is he is probably a tailor in a previous life. He loves to see people finding joy in these coats. And I'm glad you like it. Now, Tony, I think you're on deck, right?
Yeah, I asked him for a Shaft jacket from the 1970s.
He doesn't know.
Yeah, like the movie
leather.
Shaft, leather, black leather jacket.
It's a black leather sport jacket, too. And a black leather overcoat.
Yeah.
Joe says that he thinks you would look better in double knit, Tony.
Oh, double knit would be nice. Look, I'm not asking for anything.
Double knit is very forgiving. That's what I like about it.
Listen, if he gets him any of the Shaft stuff, the other thing he should look for is remember that black afro pick that had the black fist on it in the 70s.
Oh my God.
If you vaguely. Get, I think you got to get that for Tony too, but right now he's got no place to put it.
I like that. I've got
that can be worked on.
I love
That's
how you're
hilarious.
Asking Sue Palka, who grew up in Western Pennsylvania, do you remember the black afro fist pick?
Well, she had to see that. She had to see that in news reports or magazines or something. Right?
There were not very many of them in Northwest Pennsylvania, I'll
no,
be honest.
But you saw them at rallies and everything.
Oh,
you know?
At rallies. All right.
Yeah.
What,
Sue,
am I just dating myself? Is that
yes.
yet again?
At rallies.
All right.
Sue.
All right. How about at raves?
With my pacifier in.
You know, there's no way to ever get past the fact that my arteries are hardening. And right here on the show, I'm a very old man. I'm sorry.
Yes. Gary, you look younger than all of us, though. You're not allowed to complain.
Oh, my sweetheart.
He got someone mentioned that on Facebook, how young you look.
Yes.
It
yes.
was Stevie Wonder, I believe.
Stevie Wonder.
All right. Yeah. Sue, Joe, thank you very much. It's good to talk to you. I'll see you this week, Sue.
Yes, I'll finally be back, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. It's been a wonderful time off, and I'll let Joe say goodbye to you real quick. Thanks, guys.
Please don't. Right, please don't. We don't have time.
Too late. You have to do an extra hour. Joe's getting back on the line.
God.
All right, thanks. Here he is.
Okay.
All right.
And, I hate being on the radio with her because her voice is deeper than mine. It's got nothing to do with the hormones. It just is. You know? 62, I can't get out of puberty. Puberty!
Puberty. Joe, thank you very much again. It's wonderful, and we will all get together soon.
We will.
Guys, I love your show. I just think it's got such a wonderful spirit about it. It does hark back, you know, back to a day when life wasn't so cynical. We don't have to go back to the 40s for it, but
it is
enjoyable. I'm just sorry it's only an hour or so, you know, every week. It should be on all the time, eight hours a day.
We'd like to be on every day. That would be good.
3 hours a day would be good.
Yeah.
That would even be better.
Why don't we quibble about the timing? Right?
Yeah. Some other time.
Let's get an offer first from somebody.
Exactly. Yes. Hey, Joe, thank you so much. I'm back because I come back to do the show every Saturday, so I can't wait for the sport jacket.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I got an eye out for it. And Tony's some double knit, some plaid.
No,
we should have been shot for everything we did.
How far away are you
really?
From the studio? You might be able to get over here before we leave today.
Don't get him anything else. Don't get him anything else. And I don't need anything either.
Yeah. Do you want to run by my house and try it on?
39 regular, Joe.
Yeah.
39 regular. Off the
Nothing rack. Regular about a 39. Yeah.
Right. Nice All meeting right. you, Joe.
We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, guys. All Happy New Year.
Happy
you
New
too.
Year to you.
We'll see
you. Bye-bye.
Okay, so this is the first time we've ever done this.
Yes.
We did two Sue Palka, Joe Palka interviews.
Right, we did. Yeah,
we've
right.
never had guests on twice.
That's why they're the first.
That's all we have
first.
Time for.
Oh, we haven't even mentioned, we are the worst.
What?
We are the worst. We're 30 minutes into the show, and have not mentioned that on the show today is Joe Piscopo.
Yes, yes.
We are the worst.
That's right. Joe's had two birthdays since we started the show.
So we've had Sue Palka and Joe for the second time, and now we're having a second Joe on the same show. That's also a first.
Wow, do you see that correlation?
It's amazing.
What are you doing pulling that together is something to mention?
Joe Piscopo.
And you know what's amazing?
What?
That everyone that we've spoken to have first names.
It's unusual to have two Joes on a show.
Okay.
Two Joes on a show. Sounds like another podcast.
Two Joes on a show.
Maybe that's the name of this show. Two Joes on a show.
Write it down.
Write it down.
I like it. I like it.
Two Joes.
Two Joes on a show. All right. Before we get to Joe Piscopo, you wanted to talk a little bit about the holidays and what you did, and I had a very interesting holiday. I can tell you that much.
You want to start? Just tell me. But we have to be brief because the show is jam packed.
All right. Christmas. All right. We did the TV show Off the Cuff, and we talked about holiday fiascos.
Yeah.
Well, then guess what happened after we shot that show?
No.
I'm on my way home from work one night. It's 11:15. I get a text message and a photo from my niece who's living with us. It's a photo of our Christmas tree tipped over on the floor, and the text message just says, "Timber."
No.
The Christmas tree fell over. Had never happened to us before. It was fully decorated. Here's what I don't get. It had been up for 2 days, was doing fine, and then all of a sudden it just tipped over.
Well, you know what? A lot of things mean something, and that means something.
Does it mean something bad?
Well, not for me, but let me just say what it means. What it suggests as a tipping over point is that you probably won't be on the podcast much longer.
Oh, no.
And I think it means that there'll be another co-host.
No. Mm. See, I was worried when this happened, and we didn't discuss it, because in the back of my mind, I thought, I think this means something.
You know, I have a new name for the show, though.
You're just moving beyond my demise right on to...
You know what? I used to be your producer, and I always have to be ready. So, wow. So would you do me a favor? Can you get Dude Walker ready? Because the name of the show is The Connor Perkins Show, starring Gary Stein.
You know, a lot of people would like that.
I think they would.
Yeah.
We better be careful. Well, that's terrible about the tree.
Isn't it terrible?
Did it break the lights? Did it break the ornaments?
Here's the amazing thing, and thank you to the man above.
Divine intervention.
Divine intervention, yes, as if he's... That's what he's paying attention to instead of peace in the Middle East. Oh, let me protect those Christmas bulbs.
At the Perkins house.
Right, that's right. Only one bulb broke and no one was hurt because it fell onto the couch, which Connor was sitting on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't hit him. One bulb broke. Everything fell off. It was a mess. Not too much water spilled out, amazingly. So it was okay.
Yeah, well, you're so good with mess. You know, that had the ability to ruin your Christmas. Because imagine if the water was all over your house, you would have called off Christmas.
Can I tell you something? My wife, that's never happened before, but my wife, when we set the tree up, the first thing she does, she puts plastic trash bags on the floor where the tree is going to be.
As do we.
Do you?
Yes, and then put the tree skirt around it.
Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah. Yeah, in case it leaks or something.
Yes.
So it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we both do that. Rob, do you protect your floor from Christmas spills?
I go with the fake tree.
Oh, you have the fake tree.
So do you lit, everything, good to go.
So
wow.
Do you put fake plastic down around it?
Fake plastic.
Do you have a fake tree skirt? Is there such a thing?
I do.
Yeah.
Is it a little tree or a big tree?
Oh, it's just a little guy.
Do you put on make-believe lights that don't light up?
It has, it's pre-lit. Little fiber optic pens.
I'll bet you were pretty lit, too.
If he had it his way.
Now, you know what? And forgive me, because we haven't... Again, we're terrible. You and I have been going on and on about Christmas and exchanging gifts. Rob, how was your Christmas?
Oh, I don't care. I don't care. Come on. And you're making believe that you care.
I do care.
No, you don't.
I do care.
On the way up, you said to me, "I wonder if Rob Ford's still here."
How was your Christmas?
I had actually a good time. I met up with some friends, all the friends that their families aren't in town.
Oh, yes.
So we were all the stragglers, and we bonded over that.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I mean, was it good?
Yeah, it was fun. Okay. We ordered a pizza. We sat around, played some Parcheesi, and that was about it.
Wow. Wait a minute. You're not getting away with that.
Parcheesi.
I need to know.
Oh, no. It's happening to Rob Ford.
Yeah. Wow.
We're lost now.
Totally.
We are lost.
Oh, man. Did you play Pinochle or anything?
Pinochle.
We played Crazy Pinochle. It's the new version.
It involves shots.
All right. Next year, if you're not going to your parents, you're welcome. Gary, you've got an extra room, right?
I do.
You're welcome at Gary's house.
Oh, thank you.
No, you're welcome at my house, too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You want to know about mine?
Yeah, Gary, how was yours?
Well, Christmas is always weird at my house because the only people that come over are the Jews. So,
of which you're one.
I didn't know that. Yes, I am.
Pointing out for the new listeners.
But Sarah's mother came over, and she's not Jewish, and we let her in anyway.
And she's older now.
She's older. And she's Episcopalian, so it fits for her. Okay. And my mother, you know, my mother's there, and, you know, my stepmother is there, and she's Jewish, too. But we celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas.
Yeah, you do everything.
But the big deal for me, is New Year's Eve, because New Year's Eve, if I'm not producing something, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes I do a job on New Year's Eve,
mm-hmm.
but when I don't, I join Sarah for her standing New Year's Eve gig at a place called Winchester Gardens, which is a senior citizens independent living center, and that's her gig. So she's performing with her best trio for people who are like eight. I mean, you know, it's wonderful and it's sad because people come in with their walkers. You know, it's like the parade of the walkers, mm-hmm. the March of the Wooden Soldiers. Mm-hmm. It's like they all come in mm-hmm. and they sit down, and you hope everybody makes it through the performance.
Well, can I ask a question? Do they stay up till midnight?
No. You know what's sort of wonderful and a little bit sad?
About this gig.
We do Auld Lang Syne at 10:30. And Sarah and I are home every year before midnight. And we watch the ball drop.
That's a nice gig.
And it's a good paying gig.
Yeah, it's a nice gig.
And Sarah, you know, she loves doing this gig because they are a captive audience.
And they're appreciative, I'm sure.
They are.
Yeah.
And some of them are listening with their eyes closed, and some have actually passed out.
No. No, I thought you were gonna say worse.
Expire.
No.
No. No. We hope every year that if like 85 people come in for the show, mm-hmm. 85 people leave.
that's a successful night.
That's the goal.
At least a 93% return rate.
So if you get through the gig and no ambulance is pulled up, you're very, very happy.
So she was amazing. Mm-hmm. The show went really well.
Mm-hmm.
And we got home at, this one went longer. We couldn't believe it. People stayed. She sings till 11, except sure. Usually people are gone. People hung in, and I was going, come on, we got to get out of here. You know, come on. There were like 10 people left, but she's obligated. Ooh. So we stayed till 11, and then I broke the speed limit mm-hmm. and got us home before midnight, and we toasted each other.
Well,
but we were out longer.
That's what we did. I worked. I actually worked New Year's Eve, so I did the show, got off at 11. I got home by about 11:40, and we actually had a great time. Watched the ball drop.
Connor was up?
Connor was up, yeah. In fact, we all stayed up till like 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning, just laughing and had a little sparkling cider, and it was great.
You know what this leads into that I just wanted to mention? I don't have to do a big deal.
Okay.
But New Year's resolutions.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody makes them. I don't make
them. I don't
make them.
No.
And I saw a list. I love to surf the internet because I look for material for the podcast and you don't. I came across a list that was really like the not the top 10 resolutions, but the top 10 broken resolutions, you know, the ones that are broken first.
Yeah.
I won't do those top 10, but you can imagine what they are. The first one is the diet.
Yes. Yep.
And I'm going to go on a diet and I'm going to get in shape.
And I'm going to work out. Yeah.
And the second one is the workout. Yeah. I'm going to go to the gym 4 days a week. And that's the second one that's broken,
yep.
You know, and then
doesn't surprise me at all.
The third one is, you know, I'm going to stop hitting my wife and you know that they, no, I'm kidding. So,
you're not going to stop?
No, I'm not. No. If I hit Sarah, she would hit back harder. Much harder.
Yeah, same with me.
She's a little bigger than me, so, you know. But listen, I got to tell you something. I found something surprising, vintage, on the internet.
Uh-huh.
Do you know, you explain who he is, Woody Guthrie.
Very influential in American folk music. A hero to people like Bruce Springsteen, a contemporary
Bob Dylan.
A hero to Bob Dylan, contemporary of Pete Seeger.
Absolutely, they were close.
Yeah, absolutely. So and he's one of the giants.
That's right. And his work came from touring the Dust Bowl.
That's right.
Being on trains and writing songs and
about the heartland.
Yes.
About the struggles of the average American, you know, at that time.
Yes.
And yes, right.
So in somewhere in the mid-30s, Woody Guthrie came up with a list of the top 33 things that you should decide to do on New Year's Eve as a resolution for the whole year.
Okay.
He wrote down, I'm showing it to you, on this scratch paper, he wrote down this list, and everybody should follow this list. Now, it's in his English.
Okay.
It's in his sort of country English, but
it's very neatly written.
It is very neatly written, and it was found. It says at the top of it, there's a water stain. It says middle of the book. He wrote this notebook, and in the notebook, he wrote his resolutions for the year.
Okay.
So listen to what some of them are. I'm not going to read all 33.
Okay.
I will read the 33rd, though.
Okay.
So one of them is wash your teeth if you have any.
That's good advice.
Eat good.
Eat good.
Fruit, vegetables, and milk. Drink very scant, if any.
So far, these are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wear clean clothes. Look good. Change your socks. Learn people better.
Oh.
I mean, and that's, you know, that's what we all should do. We should all get
absolutely.
To know people better and get to know the people in our lives better. Don't get lonesome.
Oh.
Don't get lonesome.
I like these.
Isn't that great?
I've never heard of this before.
And then number 20, I'm just skipping around.
Sure.
Number 20 is dream good.
Wow.
And he drew little pictures, which I'll show
you.
Yeah,
I saw.
We're going to post this on our website.
Okay.
Bank all extra money.
Mm.
You know, I mean, there's good advice
these are
here.
All
good,
very
sagely
sensible.
Sound,
yeah.
Sensible advice. Play and sing good, you know.
Mm.
Dance better. He writes dance better. He went,
not good, just better.
Right, better, right. Yeah, do the best you can.
Right, of course.
Do the best you can.
He writes love mama and love papa.
These are very touching.
He writes love Pete. Love Pete Seeger.
Seeger?
Yes.
Oh.
That's resolution number 30. 31, love everybody.
This is fantastic. This
30,
could be a book.
32 is make up your mind.
I
make
like this.
Up your mind. And 33, wake up and fight.
Wow. I love this.
Now, if you want to read any others that I didn't read, but, you know, I got a little bit of a chill when I read them.
Oh, I love this. Number 18, Stay Glad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Number 19, Keep Hoping Machine Running. That's great.
Look at number 10.
Number 10, Shine Shoes. Look at his drawings here.
Yes, there are drawings next to just about every resolution.
I love number 15, Take Fewer Selfies. That's a good one. Pretty. He was ahead of his time.
He really was.
In many ways.
Yeah.
Number 34, Damn Those Kardashians.
That's right. Ah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Number 35, Try to Be a Billionaire Like Tony.
Ah. I like that. Can I keep this?
You can.
Because you have two copies.
You can keep it. I made one for you.
You could post this. Thank you. You could post this. Yeah.
I found it on the internet where somebody had posted, if you follow Woody Guthrie's 33 resolutions, you'll be set for life.
Yep, that's really, really good. And I love his handwriting and his little doodles, too.
Yes.
Okay, all right, good stuff.
There you go.
All right, we mentioned that we have Joe Piscopo on the show.
Yes.
Joe is, now you see and talk to Joe fairly frequently.
You know, I hate to see him that often, but. I hate to repeat myself because it sounds like I'm celebrating me and I'm so not. It's just that I have a lot of wild experiences, and what I've done in my life mostly is I just did something that a lot of people don't do. I don't lose touch with the people that I meet and that I want to keep.
Yep.
I've kept all of those people that we've had on the show so far that I say are friends. Joe's been a friend of mine for at least 30 years. Mm-hmm. I co-wrote his last HBO special in 1990 with him, and he and I were supposed to do a sitcom together. I have never lost touch with Piscopo.
All right.
Hey, Joe Piscopo.
Barry, I'm eating French toast.
I hope you made some for me and for Tony.
I have it. I eat oatmeal in the morning, and it doesn't stick with you. Like the oatmeal, you're supposed to eat oatmeal because I'm old, you know?
Yeah.
So the French toast is a great power food. So I got a big Saturday. I'm Mr. Mom with the dad thing, and I'm just packing up, getting the house all in order after the holidays. So, excuse me, the rudest thing, I hate when people, like, chew while they're talking on the phone, you know?
You're doing a great job of eating and talking at the same time.
Joe, this is Tony. Here's what I will ask. Try to chew while we're asking the questions.
Yeah, right. That's what you always do. I do that. I know. And I won't scoff another helping in my mouth in the middle of questions.
Listen, if you're hungry and you need the carbs, Joe, you just go for it, okay?
You know what? I went for a bike ride. It's like snowing. I'm so stupid. So I go out. I go, well, maybe I can go out because I got a mountain bike. I'm in the woods of Jersey, you know? And you'll know my property by the guy that plays the banjo, the Deliverance theme. And anyway, I just went for a bike ride, so I'm carving up. And then you know where I'm going? Because it's so cold here in Jersey, I'm going to Minnesota tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Who's planning your schedule?
I know. Look at my winter break in Minnesota, man.
That's where everybody wants to go in January.
And, you know, I tell you, the Land O'Lakes are now Franken.
That's right. Now, let me ask you a question because you all right, so you were biking this morning in the snow. You talk about your carbing up. So are you still fully engaged in the lifting and all that kind of stuff?
No. I'm like a wuss. I'm a wuss, really. But yeah, I really am. But I try to stay within striking distance. And there's really one reason why I do that, because I date young women. Anyway,
Now, you know what, Joe? We need your son Joey on the phone to help out with this.
I know.
He's the guy who keeps you safe.
My son gets mad because I date women younger than he is. You know, so it's like, oh, God. And then I know my mother was still this young gal of a friend. She's 25, and she's going to set her up with my nephew. And I went, Ma, hey, put in a good word for me.
Hey, Joe, I would have thought that you would have learned from experience.
No.
None.
You know, I will go from one right to the other. I'm in the middle of it now. And it's like, I just won't learn. But one of these days, and it's all my own fault. I just picked the wrong women to have children with. But you know what? The children are so beautiful. The children are beautiful. I know. Hey, I was talking to Doc Gooden, the great legendary, pitcher, Doc Gooden. And we were just commiserating. And I almost have as many children as he does. So
I was going to say, if you were asking Doc Gooden for advice, you're in a lot of trouble.
You guys should be talking to
someone else. No, he's great. He is so great. He's a great guy. I looked at it, Doc. Is it me? He goes, no, man. He goes, I did the same thing. I got a lot of kids, but
But he's a good father indeed. But Mickey Rivers, you remember the old Yankee? Yeah. 27 kids, guys.
No.
27 children. More than me. I have a child at every exit in New Jersey. So it's 27.
Joe, yes, do you know that you're actually, you are?
We are doing a show and we are on the air.
No, that, hey, he's fine. Okay. He's fine.
All right.
He didn't say f-
No.
And because you know Joe does a clean show. Joe is always
Joe
has a very clean act. Well. He does, and so and we do too. So we'll be bleeping that. But listen, listen. I want to give you some advice. I've known you a long. We got to talk about how long we know each other. But you are actually, if you want to, you're allowed to date very very young women and not impregnate them.
Is that right? No.
Yes, you
Gary,
are.
Gary, you've been married too long. Yeah. If you go through, and I know you have a beautiful wife, talented wife, Gary. I should be so lucky. But when you go with the younger woman, your older guy, everything's great. But it always comes down to, you know, I always wanted a baby. You know,
oh, boy.
And it's like, and you go, and you, I'm telling you, that's the problem. So, you know, I don't know. Martha Stewart's looking good these days. I swear to God. I mean, I could just go.
But
you know,
you know,
she's got, well, she's older, she's got a lot of money. That's where I should be, guys. That's
Joe,
where I should be,
Joe,
know?
I don't want to
be
specific.
I should be in Connecticut. I should be talking to you in Connecticut right now with clean sheets and flowers. You know what I mean?
Clean sheets and flowers. And Martha Stewart, you know? Right next to you. But you know what? At least here's what I like about this. I mean, you know, because a lot of men try to hide this attraction that they have to younger women, when in fact I think it's rather natural. And you know, you know, most of us, you know, we move on and we do the married thing and all that kind of stuff. But you're just kind of out there. You're like, hey, that's what I like, and I know it keeps getting me in trouble.
You know what it is? I mean, I've been married. You know, Tony, I've been married. I'll tell you, on and off, but 35 years dedicated father and a husband. And really, you know, what with the babysitter, I did 20 years, so that's a long time.
You know, I wasn't going to call her that, but you know,
I didn't mean that to sound like a prison term, like I did 20 years.
No,
you know?
No, no, no.
But it was, I put in 20 years, you know, and then you, as a father, it's like Jerry Seinfeld, the brilliant Jerry Seinfeld, says it best. You're kind of like a deflated Mylar balloon just hanging around the house, you know, you're just kind of hanging around and you're there. When you're needed, they call you.
Right.
But it's good. With the young women, it's great. You just back in and you show them your wallet and it all works out, you know?
Hey, Joe.
This is amazing.
Hey, Joe, well, the last time I talked to Joey, who's now 62, your son, son, you know, he said, Dad is incorrigible because he's the only person on the planet who doesn't learn from any previous experience. And I think that you're living up to his credo. You really are.
In a nutshell, because I'm just so optimistic and so eternally hopeful. That, you know, someone's going to just nurture me and love me and take care of me. And it just doesn't happen. So, but, you know, again, it's my own fault because I always tend to lean to if there's nurturing and loving and caring. And on the other end, there's chaos. You know where I go, guys. You know where I go.
Tend to, well, you know some people, that's how some people are.
I want to tell you something that you did to me that I never forgave you for that happened in the 80s.
So, listen, I will deny the gay bar incident. I swear to God.
Well, we were both drunk, and that doesn't count.
Listen, it was the 80s.
So
it was
a
wild time.
Here's what you did. So, we had already done the HBO special together, and now we were going to do that pilot for a sitcom at ABC. Remember, ABC and Universal, they had a guaranteed shooting commitment, except it didn't shoot. Remember that? So you brought me in to audition as your best friend in the sitcom. And I walk in with my partner, Sammy. He and I were both going to be in the show. And what no one told us was we were going to walk in. I knew you were going to be there. The writers were going to be there. And so were the executive producers. But the so-named babysitter was practically sitting on your lap in spandex. And I'm supposed to stay in character. And a vision of loveliness like I had never seen before is practically on your lap. Now, right before it started, one of the producers runs into the hall and says, listen, there's a guest in there, and we recommend that you don't look at her. because it might upset Joe. So Sam and I are in the hall getting ready to come in and audition, and we said, whatever you do, whoever she is, don't look at the girl in spandex, or Joe may not hire us.
No, are you kidding me? I know you guys long enough, and how funny you've always been, Gary. You know, especially when you're working with Sam, that was so much fun back in the day.
Oh,
we had a great time with you with the now ex, and I say this respectfully, you know, because I always thought she would always, but back in the day when we were hanging out there in L.A., there'd be Stallone, there'd be around Tom Cruise, there'd be Arnold, and I expected her to leave me because she was like, you know, she was like this beautiful gal. And what was I going to do, get upset about it? I would think she would take off with Harrison Ford, and I would just go, thanks, honey, thanks for the ride. You know, maybe Harrison could take me in his helicopter once in a while. You know, I mean, what am I going to do? But it never turned out that way, you know, it just never turned out that way. But no, I didn't really mind. It's just very understanding. But that was, you know what, Gary, it's so funny when you look back, the sitcom alone, I liked the hour episodic we were going to do. Hour episodic.
Joe, you know what? We have talked about that every 4 years or so, and we say that needs to be resurrected. Because that hour, it was like a dramedy, but it was that script was an excellent script.
Well, this brings up an interesting point, and Joe, maybe you can talk about this, because when you're famous and, you know, you're doing this show and you've got this special, people see all that and they think, man, that's fantastic. It's wonderful. This guy was on Saturday Night Live and everything. But they don't know the things that all of us try to do and pitch and audition for and the things that don't fly and don't work. How do you balance the enormous success that you've had and the struggles that you've had, like with some of the stuff you and Gary did?
Yeah, it makes you strong. It makes you a better performer, I think, because it's a good question, Tony. It's like, you know, even with Jane Fonda, like her or not, I mean, when she won her Academy Award, you know, the next day she said, you go in and you pitch your stuff. Yeah. The next day you go to the studio with the award in your hand, because they forget in a week, you know? So it is fun. Gary and I said, great. The half hour was great. The hour was great. I mean, a great. Great, well-written, a limited series. And I think, what was the network? Was that ABC? I can't remember the network was. But we set it up there. And then, you know, it costs too much. They're not sure. They don't want to do it. And then after a while, you go, I don't want to play this game, man. Mm-hmm. So you just walk out. And the trick is to enjoy the journey and just to keep working. Yes. You know, Joe, you should be doing this. Joe, you should be doing that. You just keep working. And by the grace of God, coming off of Saturday Night Live, you're always able to work. And that's what I'm in the blue collar show business, man. I sweat on stage. I work. I do the radio show every morning, 6 to 9 in New York. I love it. And I'm off to Minnesota to do some business. Again, by the grace of God, life is good, but you got to dig the journey. You know, a lot of young people go in and say, I never wanted to be, you know, I'm going to be a star, right, Gary? You just want to keep working.
That's right.
You know what? I always loved the fact that you always, with a lot of the disappointments, some of them we shared, because I don't know if you remember, but the reason the sitcom didn't happen, we were 2 weeks away from shooting it, and the guy who greenlit it was fired. So I remember our producer said, well, we're Universal, and they said to ABC, no, it's a guarantee. And ABC said, so hold us to it. Remember, Universal is a supplier of product.
Right.
So they're saying to ABC, well, we need you to buy shows from us. So they just said, we'll catch you on the next one.
Wow.
Now, I was devastated, and you were okay. And you went off and you did something else. And I was devastated for weeks after that.
Yeah. Well, you can't get. I remember I developed something else at HBO. I put a limited series together, and it was with an executive who did, a dear friend of ours. And, he put on Larry David show. He put The Sopranos on. He put all these, very successful shows on. And, you know, and I had this whole thing done, locked in the network, and then when he left with it, Doug, it goes your project.
Wow.
That's
and
right.
Then you go
wow.
back, well, you know, that was his project.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's that. And I don't care if you're, you know, Larry David or Jerry or whoever it is, it's the way the town is run, man. So that's why you got to go in and just dig the journey and not, you know, how sad, and Gary knows this, Tony, when you go to LA and you meet so many extremely, amazingly talented people, and it's always like I got this thing. I got this thing, and I'm pitching it next week. It's so sad, man. Just, you know, just stay on the road, keep working, and just enjoy it. Because you know what? The thing is, guys, when we die, no one gives a crap.
Right.
No,
but here's what I think is great for stand-ups. I did stand-up comedy a long time ago for 9 years and hung in there with it and loved it. And for guys like you, and you mentioned even Jerry Seinfeld and all that, the guys who, if you're a stand-up comic, no matter what else is going on, successful, not successful, you're on TV, you're not on TV, whatever, you can always still do the stand-up comedy. And of everything that you do, it is the purest thing that you do, and it is the thing that is most you and that you control completely.
Yeah, it's a good point. It is. It's the road, and everybody goes out. And I see guys, you know, big names. They do the clubs, man. They do the clubs, you know. And it's interesting because I'll go do generally casinos, or I'll do a lot of corporate shows.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody, you go back to the clubs, and it's like an addiction, though, Tony. You go back because I remember I started out 44th and 9th Hell's Kitchen. I mean, it was like, my God, the late 70s, and Larry was there. Jerry was there.
At the Improv? At the Improv?
The Improvisation.
Yep.
That's the Improv in New York City, and Hell's Kitchen. Well, I tell you, dangerous. People were getting whacked down the street.
Oh,
you know?
That was, and it was rough then.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was awful. And you have to run and do your set. It's all good, and but it's a lot of work. So that cut to recently, the Gotham Comedy Club in New York.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
So for my buddy, Craig Carton, he goes, hey, could you do a charity with me? And Jerry's coming in, and a couple funny guys like Jeff Norris are coming in, and Artie Lang showed up.
Oh,
and
wow.
Michael Che came in from SNL. So it was like, yeah, you know, I don't know what it is. It's an addiction. It's
sure
a
it
sick
is.
Addiction
sure
that you can't get. And I'm in there going, yeah, I'll go on. And then, and it was just, it's exciting. And but that's where you're from, and that's what you can always go back to. If mm-hmm. indeed, Tony, to your point, if you do stand-up, you can always go back to it. And that's what I do, man. I'm like, again, blue collar is show business. I got no trainer. I got no trailer. I got no chef, man. I sweat on stage, and it's like Rodney said, as soon as you leave that stage, you're as good as your last show. That's it. You got to do it all over.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So it really says something about your chemical makeup when you seek improvement. You know what I mean? Am I okay? Am I okay?
Right, you know? That's right. It's do you true. Like me? Do you like me?
It's true for every comic.
I got to tell you guys, too, this is a funny thing. Gary, you'll appreciate this. But we go down, and you go through your trials and tribulations with women. And it's so funny, and this is a telltale sign of the chemical makeup of a live performer, is right before you go on, I was doing a Club Piscopo in Atlantic City, and we go out, you know, kind of like a retro-style show, Vegas-style show, you know, with me and a comic. 5 of 9, you get your calls from the ex that just they just try to rile you before you go on the air, you know? So it was like everybody's phones went off, and we would wave. I'd wave to a light guy in the back. Fuck yeah, ex calling. Fuck everybody. Just because they want to rile you before you go on. Let's bust chops before you go on. And to everybody, the other act, the stage manager, the music director, everybody, it was hysterical.
Everybody's getting this call.
the exes didn't get that. What it did, it would drive you on stage, and we would have our best show. Because you have such anxiety,
right,
you know, in your personal life, to go out and try to prove yourself and seek an approval from the audience, and we would just fly through the show. How about that for a psychological analysis?
Right, yeah. That would be a great scene in a movie. That would be a great scene in a movie.
And I don't know why the last wife seemed to always know your schedule and could find you in any city, you know? I think she'd make a great CIA agent, you know?
He's about to go on. I'm calling right now.
It's so funny. And it's like, and you know what? It's complimentary on one hand because you go, oh, they can't live without you. But the other hand, it's like, oh my God. I mean, I'll be working until I'm 107. All my
Please don't try to compete with Mickey Rivers. Please don't do that. You know, every time I call you, you're off to do a concert because you do music in your show and comedy. You know, I don't know if everybody knows this, you know, but you are the busiest guy I know. And here's something I never asked you about, because you also play college campuses, and those people didn't know you from your Saturday Night Live days. How is it that you were able to fill college campus on a regular basis?
The millennials, you know, are so smart. And that is, I think that's our saving generation, because the baby boomers in my generation kind of blew everything, you know. So it's like the millennials are like, when you meet somebody, they know everything about what you've done. It's really wild. Huh. They know the show. And I think it's the SNL thing. They just know the history of it.
Yeah.
And you look at them and you go, even Michael Che, the funny cat on SNL.
Yeah.
And I go, Michael, how you doing? He goes, man, you know what he said to me? Michael said to me, and he goes, we're backstage at the Gotham Comedy, and he goes, you and Eddie, when you did those street characters, Solomon and Pudge, which was my favorite thing to do on Saturday Night Live with Murphy, it was toward the end of the show, it was a bittersweet kind of acting out piece, it wasn't really a funny piece, that was, and for this young kid to get it, I said, Michael, you weren't even born, he goes, no, he goes, my mother showed me all, she has all the SNLs, so they do their research, and they dig it, but I think it's more like, the franchise. It's real more like the franchise.
And the fact that you guys, I mean, that's an exclusive club. I mean, now it's 40 years now. In fact, you know what? The show is going to be celebrating, I think, its 40th anniversary in 2015.
I just in my sordid, ridiculous life that is so scattered, I get the invitation, and I think, and don't forget, Lorne Michaels, who he's our grand high exalted mystic ruler, I didn't think that he would, even invite me, because I was not, Eddie and I were hired by a great lady by the name of Jean Domanian, not Lorne, but Lorne and his good nature and loyalty, and I'm in awe of Lorne Michaels, for crying out loud, so he invites us to, so I get the invitation, and I look, and then my mother's here, like the other day, for my youngest birthday, and she goes, oh, you know, there's an RSVP in here, my mother's got to tell me, you know, Oh my God. So I put I go, well, wait, it's going to be late. So I go to the post office because I'm a fine patriot and American and try to patronize the folks that work for this fine country. I go to the post office, express mail to NBC. It just came back today. It just came back to me today. Now, Lauren's going to think that little bum. I just called his office and groveled, saying, well, I sent the RCP to the post office to express mail. It came back. I'm so sorry. Only me. You know, so if you don't see me there, you know what happened.
Right? Oh, man. Well, I hope they get you in. I hope they get you in. It would be great.
I'll be at the door. I'll be at the door to be live, be explaining to the security guard, no, it's the post office's fault, man. It's not my fault. You know?
I'm telling you, I'm Joe Piscopo. Come on.
Do you know who I am?
Joe, it is great to talk to you. Thank you. And I hope your French toast isn't cold now. But.
No, it's all good. Gary, I got to tell you, Tony, Gary Stein was a talented cat. Guy, not just as a producer, but on his feet. This is a funny guy.
Thank you.
And I enjoy talking with you guys, but Gary's with great love. I call you and say hey and check in. Hopefully I'll get to see you one of these days, man.
Well, listen, I always say to you, you know, we got to get together for lunch, breakfast, whatever, but you're never in town. You really are moving a lot. But let's do it. I don't make any resolutions, but I'd love to see you in the next couple of weeks. Can we get together?
Yeah, only if you have a young girl with you. I'll be right there with you.
Joe, I'm with you, man.
Give me an age range. I don't want to do the wrong thing.
I like Piscopo.
My girlfriend was supposed to be here this morning, but she has an algebra test. So anyway, I just thought of... I'm doing my act with you guys on the photo. Oh, my God.
Listen, if you're in New York City, you got to check out Joe. It's Piscopo in the morning, 6 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday.
Yeah,
970 The Answer, WNYM. Joe.
Let us know when we're going to be on, Joe.
Yeah, we'll be in New York sometime. We'll come on your show.
I will for sure. Anytime. Hey, Gary, love you. And Tony, thank you. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Love
man.
You too, Joe.
Take care.
Bye.
Joe Piscopo.
Yeah.
You never know where these are going to go.
No, you absolutely don't.
You never
don't.
Know where these are going to go.
But, you know, when you and I talked about it, and I said, you know, Joe's available to do the show Saturday.
Yeah.
And you said, oh, that's good. I'm not sure exactly what we'll talk about. And I said, when have we ever known what we're going to talk about?
No
but
worries.
When you get guys like this, like the comics we've had, like Louis Anderson, all we have to do is answer the phone.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Joe has been, you know what? Sometimes Joe is not given the respect that I think he deserves because...
Yeah.
He is consistently funny.
Yeah.
He's consistently out there. He works more than anybody I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and if you're working, it means you're good, because if you're not good, no one's going to book you.
No.
If you want to follow Joe on Twitter, it's at Jersey Joe, and that's at JRZY Joe Piscopo, at JRZY Joe Piscopo. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Before we go, I got to mention something. The current issue of Entertainment Weekly magazine, it's the one that has the cast from Parks and Recreation on it.
Yes.
And I love the magazine. I subscribe to the magazine, get it every week. It's great.
That's where all your news comes from for your newscasts at night, right?
Yeah, that's right. We just pull it from Entertainment Weekly.
In fact, I watched you in the studio last night, and all you did was read from the magazine.
Well, you don't tell everybody that.
Well, they see you reading. It's TV.
Well, you know,
it's not a podcast.
We try to tilt up so you don't see me.
Cat's out of the bag.
Right. Their news and notes section, 20 podcasts you need to hear in 2015. And it's a list of great podcasts.
Yes.
You know, no. Don't get excited.
I was curious.
No. We're not on this list.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. It's okay. Something to shoot for. They do list a bunch of them. Some of them.
I'll never read that magazine again.
Well, no. You know what? It's a good magazine. But the only reason I'm bringing this up is because, you know, they've narrowed it down to 20. There are like 200,000 podcasts out there, and we're already doing great. We're in the top, you know, echelon of podcasts, which is great. So I'm hoping that they'll get to us next year. And, you know, folks, check out the article. It's an interesting article. And, you know, I don't want to tell anybody what to do. I mean, go read the magazine and read it. And, you know, if anyone out there is interested in writing to the magazine and making suggestions
about who should be on next year,
about, you know, maybe who should, or you know, maybe who they should mention even now, you know, you know, in an addendum. You know,
tomorrow?
Well, you know how magazines make corrections?
Yes.
You know, listen, I want it to happen organically and
naturally. Don't feel like you have to. We're not, you know what you can probably tell from us already, because you've been listening to all the shows. We're not a pushy podcast.
No. And it's all about what happens in due time. Anyway, in case anybody is interested in writing to the magazine about any of the other articles in the magazine, they say that you can contact them. Emails sent to EW underline letters. Okay, wait, is it underline? Is that
yes.
What? Okay,
underscore.
Underscore. Thank you. EW underscore letters
so
at
pathetic.
Let me get the address
just don't write. Just don't even write.
Some
it's
people
over.
Might want. There are a lot of articles in here, and some
we got
people
it.
Might
Go
want
ahead,
to
read
comment.
It again. Read it again.
At EW. Where is it?
Do you need different glasses?
Well, it's right. Look at the print.
I can't see it from here.
Okay, here it is. If you want to email them, EW underscore letters at EW.com.
This is longer than the Joe Palka and Piscopo interview. So, you know, knowing Rob Ford, just to clarify it for our listeners, because they care so much.
Yeah.
He will probably post it on the website.
Because
this way, if people want to write about content and whether or not they like the ads.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and podcast suggestions.
And I would say to them, I love your magazine, you know, but if there's something you think they missed the boat on, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but, you know, there you go. All right.
I think that's a great way to close our show.
Me too. That's it for this week's episode. Happy New Year to all of you. Our thanks to Joe Piscopo, Joe Palka, Sue Palka,
Woody Guthrie
with his great advice. And in fact, I'm going to read Woody Guthrie item number 40. End show on high note.
Oh,
end
that's
show
wonderful.
On high
note.
Very good.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. So that's it. Rob, thank you very much.
Yes.
We'll
Happy
see you next
New
week
Year.
With,
Take
a,
care, everybody.
With a whole new episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I went a walk in that ribbon of highway. I saw above me that endless skyway. Saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me.
The Tony Perkins Show. A more broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.